This morning, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 in your Bibles, once you've found it, if you'll stand in honor of God's word with me, we're just going to read one verse together, and we'll read it out loud. It's a familiar verse. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 is where we're at. This morning also, I don't normally do this. I do this more often on a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening service. We're going to be using our Bibles as in flipping back and forth quite a bit this morning. So I'm going to ask you to be prepared for that. If not, just be prepared to jot down the references as I read them to you, and you can look at them later. But looking forward to this message this morning, Galatians 4:4, if you're ready. Would you read it aloud with me? Ready, begin. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." Then it goes on to say this, "to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So verse 4 is where the focus is going to be, at least to start off with. And the title of the message this morning is this, based on verse 4, where it says the fullness of time was come. The title of the message is, God is never early and he is never late. He is always right on time. So let's pray and get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need your help this morning. And I ask God that you would help us to focus in and tune into your word. Set aside distractions, not just physical distractions, but distractions of our lives that Satan would love to use to keep us from hearing what you have for us. And so may the seed be planted, or may our faith grow, or may we be encouraged or challenged, or maybe somebody needs to be saved. I don't know, but you know the needs. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd work in each heart, in each life. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, it's funny how many things we've trusted in this world that turned out to be so untrustworthy. Just to help us out as we get started this morning, maybe you thought you could trust your car's gas gauge until the day came that you were walking along the side of the road on the way to the gas station to pick up a gas can. Anybody besides me have that experience? All right. Was it because of your gas gauge, or is it just because of your gas gauge? Mine was the gas gauge in my truck. It was faulty. Anybody's gas gauge actually faulty? Okay. Just wanted to see what kind of people are like me out there. Okay. Lifetime warranties on a product. Maybe you trusted a lifetime warranty on a project only to find out the company's definition of lifetime was something other than lifetime. And who hasn't trusted a GPS where it says turn left now, only to find that left meant turning into a cornfield or something like that? Then we've all lived through COVID. Remember how we were told those thin paper masks actually keep germs out and from being transmitted? Or 6 feet of distance was supposed to keep us safe? Or how, you know, we were wise in our country to trust a mandate that said nothing was essential except for the bars and liquor stores. Those were essential, but nothing else was essential to leave open, right? But we learned quickly that the things man tells us to trust don't always hold up. I'm sorry to bring up bad memories. Everybody just kind of checked out when I started bringing up COVID. Sorry about that. And hopefully we can laugh about some of those things now, but then some of them maybe you refuse to laugh at, like me. But regardless, they remind us how quickly trust can be broken. Promises are made and promises are broken. Words are spoken and words are forgotten. Plans are laid and plans fall apart. And sometimes, if we're honest, we carry that same doubt into our relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you wouldn't say it out loud, but can he really be trusted? Is his word really true? Is it reliable? Does God really care about the details of my life? And you might not say those words out loud, but that might be the battle within. And this morning, I want to remind you that the answer to that question is yes. Listen, yes, God can be trusted. Amen? His word is true. He cares about the very smallest details of your life. Whatever it is, God cares. In fact, can I say this? God cares more about the smallest details of your life than you do. Let that sink in for a second. You care, but God cares more. And this morning, I want to look at the proof that is found regarding this. And it's found in several places, but this morning we're going to look back at the birth of Jesus Christ long before Bethlehem, long before Mary and Joseph, long before shepherds and wise men. God had already written the plan. Before time began, He had a plan for you today. And if He fulfilled His promises in Christ's first coming, which He did, He will fulfill His promises in your life as well. So let's go to Genesis 3, please. Genesis 3:15. I'm just going to break these down into different sections here this morning, a little different than what I normally do on a Sunday morning, but I guess point one, we could say this: Christ's birth, even His birth, was prophesied and fulfilled. So Genesis 3:15, where the Bible says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." From the very beginning, this was spoken immediately after Adam and Eve sinned. They were guilty. They were ashamed. They were facing judgment. But right there in the middle of their failure, God gave hope. And He promised that one day, the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. Now, what's that talking about? That's unusual, because in ancient history, lineage was traced through men. But here, God speaks of the woman's seed. I think many of you know this, but maybe a reminder, or maybe it's a new thought for some of you. This is a hint towards the miraculous birth of Christ. Centuries later, Isaiah would make it plain, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So look at the words there. The serpent bruising Christ's heel points to Christ's suffering on the cross. The seed crushing the serpent's head points to Christ's victory in resurrection. Written down by Moses some 1,400 years, listen, before Christ. Now, that's when it was written. It happened centuries before that. But written down by Moses, written down some 1,400 years before Christ, but fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. And so what I'm saying is this: from the very beginning, God promised a Savior. He kept His word. And if He gave hope to Adam and Eve in their failure, I want to tell you this morning that He can give hope to you in your failure as well. No, listen, they were in their failure. They were in their dilemma, the mess that they got themselves in. And God gave them hope in the midst of their failure. And we're going to fail, but He can give you hope in the midst of yours as well. And this prophecy written down for us some 1,400 years before it ever came to be fulfilled was fulfilled. That means God keeps His promises. God's true to His word. All right, go to Isaiah 7, please. Just kind of go through these as quickly as I can here, but still kind of hit some points that will help us out. Isaiah 7:14 talks about the virgin birth about 700 years before Jesus Christ this time. 700 years before Christ. Isaiah wrote, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." This was during the reign of King Ahaz, when Judah was under threat, and God gave them a sign of hope, a miraculous birth, not just any child, but he said, one born of a virgin. Matthew 1:22 tells us that this was fulfilled in Mary. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be the child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So, why is this important? It's important because if Jesus Christ had been born through man's natural line, he would have inherited Adam's sin. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, what does it say? Death pass upon all men, for that all have what? Sin. So, that's our bloodline. And that's why we all need redemption. But Jesus was different. Luke 1:35 says, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. From the very beginning, he was holy. His blood was not stained by Adam's sin. Hebrews 9:14 says, his blood was without spot. 1 Peter 1:19 calls it the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The virgin birth wasn't just a miracle. It was a miracle. But it wasn't just a miracle. It was a necessity. It needed to happen. Not just because it was prophesied. It was prophesied. So the virgin birth is a miracle just simply because it was a virgin birth. It's also a miracle because it was prophesied, and that prophecy from 700 years before came to fruition. It happened. But it's not just a miracle, but it's also a necessity, because the miracle of salvation would not have happened in any other way. It had to happen through not the bloodline of Adam or the bloodline of man, because there's no perfection in that. But it was a necessity because there would be no perfect sacrifice. There would be no sinless blood, no hope of salvation in any other way. So it was necessary. Amen. And written 700 years before Bethlehem, it was fulfilled exactly. And I'm saying this morning, if God can do the impossible in prophecy, then he can do the impossible in your life. He can be trusted. If you cared enough to provide a Savior with a perfect, spotless blood, he cares enough to meet your deepest need today. If he cared enough to sacrifice his son on Calvary's cross for you, he cares enough about your need that is going on in your life right now. Do you believe that this morning? Go to Micah 5, please. Micah 5, 2. Micah 5, 2 is also written about 700 years before Christ. Another prophecy. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Bethlehem was a small, overlooked town, yet God chose it as the birthplace of the King of Kings. Matthew 2:1 tells us, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, so it's fulfilled. Written 700 years before, fulfilled in detail. I'm going to say that one more time. I know we know this, but we got to think about it because we're so used to hearing it. Written 700 years before, but fulfilled in detail. God works through the small. God works through the overlooked. If he chose Bethlehem, listen this morning, he sees you. He sees you right now. And he cares about the details of your life. Go to Jeremiah 23. These last two are a little shorter here. Nobody's complaining about that, I see. All right, Isaiah, Jeremiah 23, verse 5. So now we're moving to maybe about 600 years before Christ. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safety. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Now, we're not here this morning to talk about the reign of Christ or his future judgment. That's another message. But notice the detail that matters for our text. The Messiah, you see where it says the Messiah would come from David's royal line. That's the point Jeremiah is making, and the one I want to make this morning. Matthew 1 and Luke 3, then 600 years later, trace Jesus' genealogy back to David, showing that this prophecy was fulfilled. Exactly. Written 600 years before, fulfilled in Christ's lineage. And I'm saying that God keeps covenant promises. And I'm saying this also, this was also something he promised to David as well. And if he's going to keep his promise, keep his word to David, I can believe that he's going to keep his word to me. No, I look at these examples and I see, okay, here's a prophecy that's said about the first prophecy about Christ back in Genesis 3. And it happened. He came. And I look at that and I say, okay, if God can do that, then God can do great things in my life. And then I look at a prophecy about him being born to a virgin 700 years before he was born to a virgin. And it happened. And I think if God can do that, what can he do in my life? And then I see something as small a detail as this. I mean, it's not even the point of the text here that Jeremiah is making. He's talking about God, Jesus ruling and reigning and his judgment that's going to come. But a little detail here about how it's through the lineage of David. And I read Matthew 1 and the genealogies of the New Testament. And I see, oh, it came through. It happened. A small detail, which tells me he cares about the details of my life as well. And I mean, from Genesis to Daniel and more, God's word pointed to Christ, written hundreds, even over 1,000 years before Bethlehem, fulfilled in detail. And here's why we spent time, because they prove God can be trusted. It's not vague. He's not careless. He's precise. Numbers 23:19, maybe jot these down. God is not a man that he should lie. But hath he said, and shall he not do it? Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be. He goes on to say in that same verse, it shall not return unto me void. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's fixed, it's unchanging, it's reliable. He always accomplishes his purposes. His word cannot fail. Unlike human promises, God's promises we can trust. And these fulfilled prophecies are not just history lessons. They are faith lessons in our lives as well. And they remind us that the God who spoke before time began is the God who speaks in our lives today. And if he kept his word, then he'll do it again. Which leads me to a quick point too. That was the longest point, right? Here's a quick point too. God does care about the details. When you look at prophecy, one thing stands out, but it's hidden. But it's weird how I just said that. God didn't just say a Savior will come someday. He gave specifics. He said the Savior would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. He said he would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. Every detail was written down and every detail was fulfilled. But those aren't the only ones. I'm just going to kind of rapid fire some others. You might want to jot these down. We don't have time to look at them this morning, but Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. 750 years before Christ, fulfilled when Joseph and Mary fled to Egypt with Jesus and then returned. Even the detour to Egypt was part of God's plan 750 years before. Now, I don't know about you, but that's awesome. Jeremiah 31:15, Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted, written 600 years before Christ, fulfilled when Herod returned, or Herod ordered the slaughter of the infants in Bethlehem upon the non-return of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. I mean, even the tragedy was foretold, showing God knew the details. Zechariah 9:9, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass, written 500 years before Christ, fulfilled when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey. Even the way he arrived was part of prophecy. So I hope you see it. God cares about details. God, it's not just the big picture, but the small things. I mean, we're talking about the town, specifically, the specific family, the timing, even the way he entered Jerusalem. If he cared about those details, he cares about your details too. And when you feel overlooked, just remember Bethlehem. Or when you feel powerless, remember Mary. Or when life takes a detour, remember Egypt. And God's in the details. God's in the details. And if he was faithful then, he'll be faithful now. Point three, God's plan is perfect and trustworthy. Back to our original verse there in Galatians chapter 4, if you would turn there, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. That phrase, the fullness of the time, that's worth pausing on for a moment. It means that God's plan is never rushed. It means that God's plan is never delayed. I know sometimes it feels like it is. It means God's plan is perfect on timing. Think about it. For Galatians 4:4, the world had been waiting since Genesis 3:15 for the promised seed. Centuries of prophecy had been spoken. Nations had risen and fallen. We had Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea. Empires had come and gone. Israel had been scattered and regathered. Rome had taken the throne. Greek language had taken over and spread across the world. Roads had been built for connecting nations. The timing was perfect. Synagogues had been planted in every city. And at that exact moment, God sent his son. And it wasn't a day too early, and it wasn't a day too late. It was right on time. I'm going to give you some verses quickly. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I mean, that's huge right there. Isaiah 46:11. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass, right? Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. God declares his purpose cannot fail. Ezekiel 12:25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Joshua 21:45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. This is important for us to trust God. God's timetable is perfect. He knows when to open the doors. He knows when to close the doors. He knows when to bring answers. He knows when to teach you patience. He knows when to deliver. He knows when to shape, when to refine. And when you feel like God is late, remember Galatians 4:4. Remember the fullness of the time. Because if you ever wonder if he sees your need, then remember, he saw the world's need and sent his son exactly on time. So he sees your need. Point four, God will keep his word still. God will keep his word still. He kept his word in Christ's first coming. Every prophecy, every detail, every promise was fulfilled. And that should give you confidence about what's still ahead. Because the same God who kept his word then is the same God who will keep his word regarding Christ's second coming too. The Old Testament spoke of his second coming. Zechariah 14:4, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. I'm just giving you a few of them. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. Says, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. Isaiah 11, verse 4, with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The New Testament, John 14, 3, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He said in Acts 1, 11, the same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Revelation 22, 20, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We have proof stacked upon proof. Zechariah said his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Daniel said he will come with clouds and reign forever. Isaiah, he'll judge in righteousness. Jesus said, I'll come again. The angel said, this same Jesus shall so come. Jesus said, surely I come quickly. If God was exact in Bethlehem, he will be exact in his second coming. If he was precise in the manger, he'll be precise in the clouds. If he cared about the smallest details then, he cares about the smallest details now. Now, I don't know who needs this message this morning. I know it's for someone. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't know if heaven's your home. Maybe you don't know that if you pillowed your head tonight, that you're confident you'd open your eyes in heaven. Well, you might not die tonight. He might come again first. And the one who doesn't know Christ, I do know this, he is coming again. Right, Christian? He's coming again. John 14, 3 says, let's turn there, please, would you? We'll look at these last verses here. I'm going to have you read these last verses with me. John 14:3, ready to begin. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He will come again. Don't wait until it's too late. Trust him today. Look at 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. Please. So maybe to the one who needs to know that God cares. 1 Peter 5:7, ready to begin. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The same God who cared about Bethlehem, all those involved, cares about you. Maybe you are one who needs to trust his word. Go to Numbers 23:19, please. Numbers 23. Verse 19, ready to begin. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? His promises can't fail. No, his promises, it's not that they won't fail. They can't fail. It's impossible for his promises to fail. Romans 8:28, you might know it. Maybe you need to know that details need to work out. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, if you know it, quote it with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Even the detours are a part of God's plan. Even the detours are a part of God's plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. His plan is perfect. Even when you can't see the plan, his plan is perfect. So I just want to challenge you this morning, live ready. Live ready. Why should we live ready? Because his plans don't fail. What he says is going to happen is going to happen. So live ready, because he's coming, isn't he? Live hopeful and trusting, because the same God who wrote history is also writing the future. History happened like he said it would, so future is going to happen like he says it will, so you can live trusting. And his word can't fail. He's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. And one day at the fullness of the time, Christ will come again. And just as he said, just as he promised, just as he prophesied, he's going to come again. So I think there's a lot of ways we can respond to this message this morning. But let's take some time now and go to God in prayer and ask for his help as we respond to him. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your promises that are true, that are real, that are trustworthy. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who cares about the details of our lives, and you have a plan and you have a purpose in all things. We thank you for the reminders and the Word of God and the truths as we study even the prophecies and the different things that have happened, Lord, that we can see how you care about us as individuals, Lord. And I pray, Father, you'd help us respond exactly how you'd have us to. Maybe somebody here doesn't know Christ as their Savior. May today be the day of salvation for them. Maybe somebody needs to just respond to you in trust, or respond to you in prayer, or respond to you in acknowledging that they can put things in your hands, all the details of their lives. You have a plan, you have a purpose, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.